Hare Krishna. So we are reviewing 6th chapter. So with Dhyana Yoga. Oh, so what is in 5th chapter? What did Krishna talk?
At the end of 5th chapter, Krishna spoke about Ashtanga Yoga and others. Like we said, both Bhakti Yoga and Ashtanga, those also lead to the same. So now he's elaborating more on the Ashtanga Yoga part.
Yeah. So this chapter is dedicated to Ashtanga Yoga. So some points from the few verses we covered. Okay, we can continue. So first verse. Krishna is actually giving a highlight about this whole section, saying that, you know, even though I am going to describe about Ashtanga Yoga, you should consider the Nishkama Karma Yoga to be the real, you know, way to do it. Because otherwise, he says, a person who does not lit fire or perform no duty is actually not a true mystic. But rather, a person who does this work in a detached fashion. So that is nothing but Nishkama Karma Yogi, right, which we covered earlier. Krishna is declaring that he is the one who is better, but still he is going to detail the Dhyana Yoga later on. So then, so text number 2.
Who is he who lights no fire?
Close the door. This is, we talked about the Brahmanas, their prescribed duty is to light the fire. So a person who doesn't light the fire means he is basically renouncing his duty without proper purification. So that Krishna says, you know, he is not the true one. So then text number 2. Yeah. So basically, you know, Krishna here is giving a formula where sannyasa is equal to yoga. So sannyasa means renouncing the material attachments. Yoga means connecting to the supreme. Whereas a Krishna conscious person is both, right? By attaching to Krishna, he is automatically detaching from matter. So then text number 3. Yeah, so Krishna is talking about he is naming the two stages in the yoga ladder. One, the lowest one is called Yoga Ruruksha, and the topmost is called Yoga Ruda. So then what is he is detailing briefly what a person in the neophyte stage should do and what a person in the advanced stage should do. Right? So what does a person in neophyte should do?
He should work for purification.
Work for purification. And whereas the person in the advanced stage?
For satisfaction of the Lord.
For him, cessation of all, this is talking about, of course it applies to Bhakti Yoga also, because cessation of all material activities, right? But Bhakti Yogi also ceases all the material activities because he does only spiritual activities. So advanced person, he ceases all material activities. So that becomes his means. Okay, so then text number 4. So again, it's the same point. A person is elevated on an advanced stage where he neither acts for sense gratification nor engages in fruitive activities. So that means he acts only for the pleasure of the Lord. So that's why Prabhupada clarifies in the purport, this can happen only when one does everything for the satisfaction of Krishna. Okay. So we'll continue with today's section, 5 onwards.
Matali, do we have sections in this chapter as well, like we had earlier?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't give the... Next time I didn't prepare that one. I'll give for the whole chapter in the beginning itself. So what we covered from 1 to 4, I discussed, it's basically, you know, Ashtanga Yogis engage in detached work to advance. That's 1 to 4. Or rather, basically it's, you know, it's a kind of overview for the Ashtanga Yoga process. 5 to 9 it's actually he's talking about mainly control of mind. It's very crucial for this class. Mind control and what are the symptoms of a person who controls the mind? 5 to 9 and 10 to 32 is basically more details of Ashtanga Yoga. Further stages of yoga practice, you know, they have to go to a secluded place, they have to sit on a deer skin, they have to half close their eyes and all those details of Ashtanga Yoga, 10 to 32. Then 33 onwards, 33 to 36, the necessity to control the mind. Then 37 to 45 is a destination of an unsuccessful yogi. I think that ends the chapter, no?
What's 37 to 45,
the destination of an unsuccessful yogi. So Krishna talks about, you know, a person who practices after a short time, long time, if they stop, what happens? Then 46 to 47, I think this is the last few verses of the chapter, this Krishna declares who is the topmost yogi. We covered already, you know, different types of yogas, Jnana Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, Karma Yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga, right? Now, in this chapter, Krishna is declaring who among all these yogis is the really topmost yogi. And we know, right, it's Bhakti Yogi. So, Krishna, will hear from Krishna about that. So, it's okay now? So, then 5 to 9, hopefully today we'll cover that. You know, it's very, very crucial. Krishna is talking about importance of controlling the mind in the yoga process and how one can embrace, take help of mind in order to progress in spiritual life. Text number 5. Udhared atmanatmanam natmanam avasadayet atmaiva hi atmano bandur atmaivari puratmana. So here, if you notice, how many atmas are there in the verse? Can somebody count?
7.
Last one. Yeah, 7. So 7 times Atma is repeated. So the translation says, one must deliver himself with the help of his mind and not degrade himself. The mind is a friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. Wow, so this is getting into the crucial things we need to all understand, right? So Krishna is talking about mind and how it affects the conditioned soul. So here, if you notice, the Sanskrit is Atma, but sometimes it's translated as mind, sometimes it's as a soul. So in Nirukti dictionary, in Sanskrit dictionary basically, it's said Atma can refer to body as well as mind as well as soul sometimes. Based on the context, it's properly interpreted for us. So like that. So here, some types of, some words of Atma is referred as mind, whereas others as the soul. Atmano bandur means it becomes atmaiva hi means this atma. Yeah, it becomes the friend of the other atma becomes conditioned soul. Atmano bandur because it's a friend of the soul. So atmaiva hi means this same mind can become friend of the soul and the next one otherwise it becomes an enemy. Or it's earlier, right? Natmanam avasadhi. Okay. So what is our general experience about mind?
I'm always living with an enemy.
Okay, always living with the enemy. So what does the enemy do? So actually, I heard one lecture, Prabhuji was describing. How many times an enemy can kill us in general?
Only once.
Only once, right? So once we get the body, we die, then next body, the enemy is in different body and we are in different body, we may not even meet. But how many times the mind as an enemy can kill us?
Infinite.
Well, how?
Every day it's killing us. Every minute.
Mataji, in the next birth also same
exactly,
mind.
Exactly. That's the point. So the same mind is carried to the next body, right? So all the lifetimes it's going to be with us and it's going to help us change the bodies. So it's going to kill the body all the time. So many times it's killing the body, actually killing us, the soul, the propensity to serve. So that's why Krishna describes next words as mind as the greatest enemy. No, if it's not controlled. But the same mind, as he is mentioning here, it can be our best friend also. So we all are interested in making our mind our best friend. So how do we understand this? It's like mind can be understood as an instrument actually to realize God. That's the purpose. As with any instrument, you know, if it's properly used, it can be of a good purpose. Like, for example, knife, right? Somebody can say knife is dangerous. If you give it to a baby, it's dangerous. But knife can be also used in cutting vegetables or, you know, doing an operation. There is a proper use for it. Similarly, fire. Right, fire, somebody can say it's harmful, no, dangerous. It can sit with the houses, no, can get burned, or forest fires. But when a controlled fire, we can cook for Krishna. No, so many positive things can be done. And similarly, car, right? Somebody may say, oh, no, car, no, vehicles are dangerous. Especially an alcoholic, when he drives, he can kill himself. Because he is completely out of control of the vehicle. But if somebody has a control of the vehicle, that vehicle can help him take to different places. We can come to Bhakti Viksha, we can come to temple, right? So it can be helpful. So that's why in next verse Krishna says, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, that if you control the mind, it can become your best friend. If you don't control, it becomes your enemy. So he is actually going deeper into this point. You know, somebody may ask, you know, how can it become my friend? So he's telling in the next verse that if you control the mind, it will become your friend. Otherwise, it becomes your enemy. So that's why the whole system of yoga practice is to control the mind. And so what is the effective way we have been taught to control the mind?
Chanting
is the first one. So we call it Hare Krishna mantra, right? Do anybody know what does mantra mean?
Yeah, please engage me with this.
That's the meaning of the mantra. So man is mind and tra means to deliver. So this Hare Krishna mantra or any mantra, no, any spiritual mantra will help the deliver the mind from the attachments of material existence. You know, all this material attachment, and the mind is so much absorbed in matter, right? So much wants to enjoy the matter and so much, you know, binding us. Right, so it helps deliver the mind, completely liberate the soul. Otherwise, we are living with the enemy, as you know, Swami Prabhu was telling. Every minute, it's killing us. No, it's pretty much as if we are handicapped, right? The soul, even though it desires, okay, now I heard something good, you know, okay, I want to practice spirituality, I want to chant, right? Even if we make the decision, no, it becomes almost impossible to execute it, because it's been so many lifetimes we have made it our enemy. We have fed the enemy, made it more and more stronger. Right? So now we say, you know, now it changed immediately. It doesn't change. It's going to rebel. So lecture Prabhu was saying, it's going to play a tantrum. Like how small children, so I was able to relate with my kids. How small children play tantrum when they don't get what they want, it's going to increase its volume. Mind. Okay, you're not going to give me, you know, this food outside restaurant or something. No, we should do this, otherwise it's going to happen. So much, you know, we can say to ourselves, right, what all noise goes on in our mind. So much it plays a tantrum. So the best way to deal with it is?
Mantra.
Okay, Hare Krishna mantra, but practical way?
Ignore.
Is to ignore.
Ignore.
Sometimes, you know, we have to just ignore it. Ignore it and, you know, forcefully engage it in. We'll come to, hopefully to the end of the session, we'll come some practical things how we can, you know, control the mind other than chanting.
Prabhupada had once said, like, every day make a point to slap you only 500 times.
Yeah. So this is actually the statement given by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's spiritual master. He says, morning when you wake up, you slap your mind, you know, 1,000 times or some number of times with a shoe. And before you sleep, you beat same number of times with a broomstick. You say, that's so, you know, we should treat the mind, you were saying. But at the same time, you know, we can make it our friend. When it's in uncontrolled state, when it's an enemy, we have to do that. But when it becomes our friend, it will actually help us so much. Because imagine, you know, if we just imagine a world where our mind is in a state where always we think, you know, how will I advance? Or we think, you know, when will I go to Vrindavan? Right? Or when we think about, you know, how we can help preaching movement. If my mind is thinking like that all the time, imagine how much helpful it is, right? Right? All the time we're thinking about how to spread Krishna consciousness, or how to increase our Krishna consciousness, or how to go more closer to Krishna. then its point is so much helpful, right? Or actually initially I shared this once, right? Initially when we started Mangalarti, you know, it was, we had to make that strong determination and, you know, do it somehow or the other, right? So it was tough. Obviously there is a transition of your lifestyle, so it's going to be some amount of austerity. So initially when you start the alarm, right, when you get up, that's when, oh no, five more minutes. But somehow, you know, if you do it, after some few years, we notice that actually now the moment alarm goes, immediately my mind, you know, says, okay, come, let's get up, let's go to Mangalarti now. It's like, then I felt, you know, this transition.
Mm-hmm.
Initially mind was rebelling, but now it was saying, you know, oh, I also like it, you know, let's do it. So we saw this mime drama, right?
Me and my mind.
So what happens briefly in that? Can you summarize?
You know it better because you acted on it.
So the way we did that was like we were trying to study for the exam. And when you want to study, we want to go to a movie. So when we are at the movie, we are thinking, oh man, you are missing studies. Let's go back and study. We come back, already time is gone, let's sleep. You sleep, you don't want to sleep because, oh man, you are missing studies. It's like, get up, no, I can't. You want to go to sleep, it's already 2 a.m. What you are doing? Go back, oh man, it's miserable. But that's not funny at all for me because that's what I am doing. So it was not funny, it was tragic.
So that was the first part, negative part. And then
once it starts getting the mantra, it slowly starts coming back under control and slowly it starts getting back on track and mind is calm, but the things, all every other senses fall into place. Therefore, it's like, you know, you tug on the rein and then all the horses then come back into control.
Mm-hmm.
So that was...
Yeah, I remember specifically one scene there where when that person takes up Krishna consciousness, he starts chant, but mind is trying to go away, right? So the mind will say, you know, movie or, you know, newspaper or something, it will show, but the this person is trying to focus and chant. Initially it does like that. After some time, this person wants to, let's say, try to do something, mind will say, no, chanting, let's do chanting. So, you know, it comes to the state, mind is purified now, it's saying that, you know, let's engage in Krishna consciousness. I mean, mind is purified and controlled, it can do like that. So, no, that's the day we all want to be also, right? To some extent, you know, our mind is controlled and it's helping us in Krishna consciousness. So, we'll read Srila Prabhupada's purport from like about 8th line down. In material existence,
one is subjected to the influence of mind and the senses. In fact, the pure soul is entangled in the material world because the mind is involved with the false ego, which desires to lord it over material nature. Therefore, the mind should be trained so that it will not be attracted by the glitter of the material nature. And in this way, the conditioned soul may be saved. One should not degrade oneself by attraction of the sense objects. The more one is attracted by the sense objects, the more one becomes entangled in the material existence. The best way to disentangle oneself is to always engage the mind in Krishna consciousness. The word he is used for emphasizing this point and that one must do it. It is also said for man, mind is the cause of bondage and mind is the cause of liberation. Mind absorbed in sense objects is the cause of bondage and mind detached from the sense object is the cause of liberation. Amrita Bindu Upanishad. Therefore, the mind which is always engaged in Krishna consciousness is the cause of supreme liberation.
Mm. So, initially Prabhupada is saying what was the role of mind for the conditioned soul. It naturally, you know, by definition, mind will try to lord it over material nature unless there is purification or unless we are pure devotee. And then gradually, because of this attachment to sense objects, it's going to degrade us. Because we are going to go on this continuously perpetual pursual for happiness and we'll never get it. But whereas, and that's why it entangles us in material existence. So the best way to disentangle, Prabhupada is saying, is to actually engage the mind in Krishna consciousness. You know, purify the mind and in the service of Krishna. Then this other phrase, this Sanskrit verse is also very nice. It's saying, these two lines, right? It's very crucial. Mind absorbed in sense objects is the cause of bondage, and mind detached from sense objects is the cause of liberation. So when does mind become our enemy? When we engage our mind in sense gratification or in sense objects. But whereas the same mind used in, you know, detached from sense objects, which means, you know, attached to Krishna or Krishna service, will lead to liberation. So that's why Prabhupada is concluding, mind which is always engaged in Krishna consciousness is the cause of supreme liberation. So anybody wants to share any experiences, you know, how by taking up Krishna consciousness there is some amount of peace in mind or some progress, something which you want to share?
Hey, progress I can tell, Madhuri. I'm still stuck. So.
Yeah. But at least we are, you know, we are better than where we started, right? Something is working, right?
So I used to, when I was in Detroit, I used to live opposite to the theater. So in that time I was single. So every Friday evening, whatever was the movie that was there, I used to go. That practice continued after marriage, and you know, with my friends also, I made friends so that, specific friends so that we could go for movies like that. Even though none of the other things would match, just for this. So it kept going on. Even here it was slowly there. But after coming that, it was like, if we go, okay, I'll also come. That's not there. I'm not bothered. If I don't go also, I don't care. So it's Friday evenings, I want to be here. I don't care. Even if new movie comes out, I can see. Like,
very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's smart step.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. See, there is a transition. So much transition, right? Wow. That's very good. Anybody? Anybody want to share anything?
I used to watch lots of
serials.
Not serials. reality shows.
Oh.
Music reality shshows and games and game shows or something like that. But somehow or the other, all of a sudden, in one lecture, I heard that four regulative principles means no meat eating, no gambling, no this. It is nothing but we don't do by ourselves, but even we watch also, it is nothing but sin. So I thought we are not doing that, but if we stop seeing, it may it will be good effect for us. So totally I stopped.
Wow.
Once in a while, my mind wants to see, but because of my busy schedule, I can't even go to see that.
Very nice.
In that way.
Yeah. That's very nice. So nice. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody wants to share anything?
Before I used to taste and cook, and just to make sure the salt is okay. And all now, last 3 years, I don't taste because I have to do prasadam. So, it kind of is a good feeling. It's just nice to not.
So you had to control your mind to do that, or was it okay?
It's not
okay.
Yeah, I agree with it's happened with me also, that now I don't, I used to taste like at least 3-4 times, you know, literally, you know, and now I don't.
Okay,
yeah.
Very nice, very nice. So we
and
are all,
I'm still anxious, you know, how it would be, that, you know, I let it go.
So we all are making progress. And
so earlier my mind used to, so I was kind of very short tempered, so I used to blur out a lot of people, even my parents. So there used to be this pain here, which I had to vent out at any cost. So then after I started practicing, so mind is giving me that time. I'm able to think. So that's one thing which I've noticed. Then it depends on me whether I want to vent out my frustration or withhold it.
Yeah.
So it's giving me that extra time is what I've noticed.
Very nice. So it's actually, that's mode of goodness. Mode of goodness, the person reflects before he acts. So slowly you're being elevated to
so
mode
that's
of goodness.
One change which I've
very nice.
Seen.
Yeah. This is what you shared in your Instagram, right? Okay, so we'll go to the next verse, text number 6, where Krishna is telling how we can make our mind our friend. Bandhuratmana atmanastasya yenatmaivatmana jita anatmanastu shatrutve varte tatmaiva shatruvat. For him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. So we described about this little bit, right? So if we control the mind, then basically whatever soul wants, and soul acts according to superior dictation, Prabhupada tells in the purport, which is now supreme soul, let's say if he's engaged in Krishna consciousness or spiritual master, then the soul will tell the mind what to do instead of being reverse, right? We discussed in first chapter, second chapter, the hierarchy of all the objects, sense objects and then senses and mind, intelligence and false ego and the soul and super soul. That should be the right order, but we usually it's topsy-turvy, right? Mind comes first and even soul, everything gets controlled. But whereas if we engage in Krishna consciousness and mind adheres to the superior dictation of the super soul or spiritual master, then soul can tell the mind what to do. Okay, now listen to the mantra, or now let's listen to the lecture, no, something like that, no? And immediately when it wanders, we can bring it back. Otherwise, if you fail to control, it becomes a greatest enemy, because it's going to again drag us down into the material pool. So we'll read the four, five lines down. The constitutional position of the living entity.
The constitutional position of the living entity is to carry out the order of superior. As long as one's mind remains an unconquered enemy, one has to serve the dictations of lust, anger, avarice, illusion, etc. But when the mind is conquered, one voluntarily agrees to abide the dictation of the personality of Godhead, who is situated within the heart of every one as Paramatma. Real yoga practice entails meeting the Paramatma within the heart and then following his dictation. For one who takes the Krishna consciousness directly, perfect surrender to the dictation of the Lord follows automatically.
This is a very important point, right? Prabhupada is saying the constitutional position of the living entity is to carry out the order of the superior. So it's not like, when I am not in Krishna consciousness or when I am not subordinate to, let's say, superior authorities, that I am free. Right? We are already submitting to somebody. Who is that? Prabhupada is saying? These are all the dictations of mind, basically mind and senses, which are through which lust, anger, avarice, illusion, etc. These are six enemies are acting. Right? We discussed in third chapter, right? The places of lust. What are the three places of lust? Where does Krishna describe the enemy called lust, and he says, where does the enemy reside to conquer it, right? Third chapter is very far away.
The senses, mind.
Yeah? Mind, senses and intelligence, right? So that's why, that's the role of mind. That's how, lust acts. But when the mind is conquered, one voluntarily agrees to abide by the dictation of the personality of Godhead or Paramatma. That's actually for Ashtanga Yogis. Eventually, their goal is to submit to the Supreme Soul. But whereas for Krishna conscious devotees, it's for the Bhagavan or Sri Krishna. But we cannot directly hear from Krishna what he is saying, so we submit to the spiritual master. So, okay, now we'll discuss about those things. That's why, in purport, Prabhupada also says, what does it mean for a Krishna conscious person? For a Krishna conscious person, he automatically takes directly, if he is following the dictation of the Lord, because from the beginning he is surrendering to the instruction of the Lord and the devotees. So it's not like for Ashtanga Yogi at some point, after this Yama, Niyama, all these eightfold things, then he starts realizing, seeing, meditating on the super soul, and then when he comes to Samadhi, that's when he can hear the super soul. Right? But for us, Prabhupada is saying, from the beginning we are already submitting to the Lord. That's again another advantage. So now let's discuss some of the practical ways to control the mind in what we heard from Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says in one lecture, in this lecture related to this verse, first tip he gave is, actually let's talk it out, when the points come I'll add to that. What are, when we talked about, you can note down if you want also, it's very nice. We can reflect on this, whenever our mind is disturbed, we can say, which one of this I can take up to make progress, get help. So the first one we discussed was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, right? This helps to control the mind. And the next one?
Indirection.
Sorry?
Ignore it.
Ignore it, yeah. We discussed about ignoring it, yeah. Next, some of the points. Can you come up with some techniques? Like, for example, you should be going through this. Suddenly, you know, some day, in the middle of the day or something, your mind is disturbed. You would be doing something which will help you.
Listening to
lectures. So when that Prabhupada says about this as association, sadhu sangha. So Prabhupada says when you hear from the sadhus, they talk in such a way that they cut our attachment, material attachment. So they cut, that's what sadhu means. Sadhu means one who cuts. So immediately when he cuts that attachment, we feel, why am I spending so much time worrying about this? We feel like that, it just becomes very simple. Because we feel, my goal is so transcendental and so high, and why am I bothered about this? So a couple of days back, I was experiencing the same thing. Morning time, because somehow or the other, we are not sleeping properly. Something happens with the kids, something or the other. So morning, first slot, I'll be so restless, something or the other. Sometimes, somehow or the other, I get through. If I hadn't slept even 10 minutes after, kids wake up. Somehow I go through, but afternoon time when they sleep, when I'm preparing their meal, he listen to lectures. Now, I'm listening to the Vrindavan Yatra lectures, Kartik Parikrama lectures. Then immediately I feel, just uplifted. Just so calm. It's like, somehow, I don't even now hanker for the 10-minute sleep. Just become very peaceful. Mind becomes peaceful. Like, very nice, Why am I bothered about all this, small things, That's why, our mind gets absorbed in this day-to-day things, all this, why I didn't get this, why he did this like this, or so much this thing. But once we start hearing some transcendental subject matter and something like that, just release the mind. So, important thing is listening to lectures. Everybody should be having this regular practice at home to listen to lectures, home or, on the way to work, or because that's very good. Because now we meet only once a week, but we should have it as an everyday routine. So, then... Then some of the points.
I think developing gratitude. I develop a gratitude for what I have, like just say thank you to God, and it comes. Comes from mind, because sometimes you unknowingly you feel like, oh my God, I don't have that. I have something else or something like that. Then you feel like, I'm so grateful.
So basically,
everything developing.
Very nice. Yeah. So Mataji is trying to address the factor of mind where it says, that person has this, I don't have it. That kind of comparison, and mind keeps so much noise that never ends, right? But if we have, this gratitude and humility, then we can always be happy wherever we are and just engage it in positively. Very nice. You want to say something, Garima?
No, just I was thinking about that trying to remain stable in both the, in adverse circumstances and in times of happiness, try to keep reminding yourself that you have to be stable.
But that's what we want to do, but we are talking about now some techniques too,
right.
Tools to help us like that, because we want to do, but how do we go there, kind of like that. So any more?
I think I'll go back to the lectures.
Go back to
the lectures, even if I'm not listening. Just go back to the classes and what you learned and what you practice every day. That helps me at least.
Very nice.
You're kind of standing back.
Yeah.
Then saying this.
Yeah. Kirtan also helps.
Yes, Kirtan is very good. So Kirtan immediately, if helps you, just uplifts you immediately. You are sharing, right? You are hearing too. Very nice. Yeah, Kirtan is very good. Some more?
Visiting temple,
yeah. Any holy place, yeah. Then?
Service.
So the best thing, as Navya Mataji already told, if we can mold our life 24 hours to do service to Krishna, automatically, we are engaging mind in Krishna service, and slowly it will get controlled. So that's the best thing, engage in service in 24 hours if possible. Of course, sleep is also a service, because it helps us to get energetic next day. Some more?
And every time, let's keep reminding yourself, Krishna is the best well-wisher, no matter what. Constantly, think that way, somehow it calms you.
Yeah. But sometimes I feel, we have this knowledge, at least that's my level. We cannot access that knowledge when we are in that state. So we need something uplifting, you know, some transcendental subject matter. On why nobody said, you know, I'll read Bhagavad Gita.
Austerity is also very important in controlling the mind.
Austerity?
Yeah. And because the way I would relate that was, all of us have experienced that if you go to gym, you gain strength. That's because you're pushing against resistance. So you're doing this, it's difficult, right? It's lifting a dumbbell, which is 10 pounds. It's difficult. And you're pushing against resistance, and that will give you strength. So similarly, if you want to gain mental strength, then you'll have to push against desires. And the way we do that is by taking up austerities.
Yes.
So which would,
definitely
make your mind stronger.
Yes, very good. Yeah, that's the point I had, was following the four regulative principles and following the fasting and all those things which we are recommended. By doing that, we are taming the mind, you know. Okay, today, somehow imagine, I can tell this experience. So somehow so long, till last year, we were able to do Nirjala Ekadashi. Because that's what we are told, Nirjala means no water. We were able to do, because early in the morning, we make up the mind, okay, whole day, I'm not going to drink any water. But one day it was announced that Prabhupada really didn't require this to be done. Whoever wants can do it. That day, everybody, I also broke, my husband also broke. It's like, you know, because then you don't have strength and,
conviction,
you don't make the determination. Then mind will say, okay, it's okay, then I can drink water. Prabhupada said, if you can, you do it. So, that's fine. Right? So, that's why austerities, you know, help mind. Saying, you know, okay, today, you know, Ekadashi, today you're not going to eat grains. That's all. No discussion about it. Don't unnecessarily bother me. That's all.
So
that day,
eating prasadam also helps. Eating prasadam calms you. Like, even to some extent, everybody might have felt it, but I also feel that it gives a different kind of pleasure when you eat prasadam.
Yeah. Yeah, because it helps us automatically mind from eating outside, right? Immediately mind will not say, now I'll eat here. It will say, okay, I'm happy here, I'll just eat prasadam. So some of the other points which are not traditional, which I felt we can share is,
I have one question on eating prasadam. Sometimes you may be convinced, but you are thrown in a situation where you can't avoid. So then the mind, then you feel very disturbed, like you are eating in a place you don't want to eat or something like that. Then how do you control the mind when it's agitated the other way? Because you are very convinced, but you are thrown in a situation.
That agitation is good. It's not our goal. Prabhupada said our goal is not becoming a vegetarian, right? Our goal is to become Krishnatarian. What I mean is, our goal is to not make the mind peaceful. Our goal is to make the mind Krishna conscious.
So you are agitated, so, but then don't give up, don't eat out.
So that agitation is good because, you know, that helps us more and more, you know, to stay closer to Krishna. But at the same time, you know, then how do we deal with it practically? That's a question, right? So, you know, first of all, we try to avoid those situations. If, you know, worst case, somehow or the other, let's say we go to India, mother-in-law, wherever, you know, they don't eat prasadam. Somehow we try to do it, that, you know, we offer, they cook, something we'll do. If in worst case that doesn't happen, you know, we can at least eat fruits. The fruits are raw, you know, very pure. We can mentally offer the fruits and eat, because nobody cooked it, right? So that's one option. And if you have to go to restaurant, you can say, I'm going to have a fruit meal, like that. Or when you go to birthday parties or something, you say, you know, I'm having a light diet, I just want to eat fruits, is it okay? Or I just want to eat some juice, drink some juice. Something like that, some practical things you can do.
But don't say it just one time, it's okay, I can do it, not like that.
That's why it depends on what agitation you want to live with. So it's, which is stronger? Will you be most peaceful by submitting to that, or more peaceful by submitting to Krishna?
I'll be more peaceful by...
That's why, what I'm saying, it's our choices, based on wherever we are. Somebody, it's either the fulcrum is here, somebody it's here. So we have to make the choice and do what is needed. So some of the points I wanted to share were there. One thing is, as Prabhupada is telling in the purport, adhering to the dictations of the super soul, right? So for us, it means, you know, we can read to Bhagavad Gita, listen to Krishna's instruction and try to follow that, like, another practical thing, you know, Mataji was sharing the other day, you know, I'm trying to teach my kid, but kid is not listening. No, he's, you know, creating lot of trouble. I have to repeat the same thing, but he's not able to follow, and it's creating a lot of, I'm getting very frustrated and, very anxious and all those things. Then I was getting reminded of the Nishkama Karmayoga principle Krishna taught, right? So why don't we do detached work? Let's practice. Then, Mataji said, I did it a little bit, and after that, again, it's going back, again, I go back to that thing. Then, she said, I should tape it, put a paper, detached work. Remember that instruction, write it up front. So when a situation happens, I'll get reminded. So that's also another way, right? To practically remember the key instructions which we need to follow. Then another thing I felt, which helps my life, and mainly, that's the primary driver for me, is focusing on the instructions of the spiritual master. For us, super soul, we can't access, it's Krishna. And Krishna's instruction comes through super soul. Or rather, spiritual master, right? So then somehow, if we focus our mind in just trying to fulfill the instructions of spiritual master, then it will become very easily controlled. It will create noise. So many instructions I try to follow. Every time something or the other, it comes up with the proposal. Like, okay, now I have to, taking care of kids in my service. Suddenly somebody, it says, that Mataji is preaching. It's doing so wonderful service. What are you doing at home? Suddenly that idea comes. Then immediately I remember, this is my service. This is what I was given. So I just have to do this. And I have faith, if I just do this, my life will be perfect. So like that helps so much, focusing on instructions of spiritual master. Then other thing is that, how about, maybe it may not come right now for us, it may come at a very little bit advanced stages, a little bit more advancement. Now how I can preach Krishna consciousness, how I can help others, how I can bring somebody else closer to Krishna. So if you constantly think like that, then our mind will not be bothered about all these petty things of eating this or trying to take revenge or so many things, but we are thinking about how, because then it's such a challenging task actually. Preaching, Prabhupada said, one disciple reported to Srila Prabhupada after preaching in certain place, he said, Prabhupada, it's okay, actually in Indradyumna Maharaj only, I think. He was telling Srila Prabhupada, we are trying to do Sankirtan, but it's very difficult, people are not taking it, and Prabhupada smiled and said, when did I say it's easy? So preaching is never easy. It's the greatest austerity. Actually, it said in Kali Yuga, we cannot even, slowly after some time, we can't even get up early in the morning, do all those things. But if we can do preaching, that's actually greatest austerity, and that's the way we can somehow, restrain from all these illicit activities and all those things. So for sannyasis in this Kali Yuga, actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there is nobody should take sannyas in this Kali Yuga. We are not qualified to take sannyas. But if at all we take sannyas, and if that sannyasi is focused on preaching, that's the best way he can protect himself from falling down. Because all the time if he keeps thinking about how to spread Krishna consciousness movement, then first of all he has to be pure. To spread, to be effective, we have to be pure. And while spreading, we are always glorifying Krishna. Right? So that's the best way to control the mind. Okay, so these are some of the points. So we'll continue with the next few verses. So the next few verses are actually symptoms of one who has controlled his mind. 7 to 9. So very short verses, so we'll try to see if we can cover them. Jitatmana prasantasya paramatma samahita shitoshna shuka dukkeshu tatamana pamanayom. For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. To such a man, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. So basically, Ashtanga Yogi, once he controls the mind, he has seen the Paramatma already. So that's why super soul is already reached. And for us, Krishna. And because of which, he has attained tranquility, peace. And he also now treats all the dualities as the same. So that means he doesn't get disturbed by the dualities. Happiness, distress, heat and cold, honor, dishonor. So we'll read last six lines of the purport. The mind must admit
some superior dictation and follow it. The effect of controlling the mind is that one automatically follows the dictation of the Paramatma or Supreme Soul. Because this transcendental position is at once achieved by the one who is Krishna conscious, the devotee of Lord is unaffected by the dualities of material existence, namely distress and happiness, cold and heat, etc. This state is practically practical samadhi or absorption in the Supreme.
Yeah, so same thing. Again, Prabhupada is saying, mind must admit some superior dictation. We should always have, you know, it's spiritual master or mentors or, you know, somebody, you know, Shiksha Guru. Somebody should be there from whom we are taking that instructions and abiding in our life. Then it will become peaceful. Then he's talking again about Krishna conscious person, how he becomes transcendental to dualities because he is always serving the Lord in irrespective of all the situations. So which is the verse in second chapter where Krishna talks about what does Krishna say? Tolerate, right? Matra sparshastu kaunteya tam shikshastva bharata shitoshna sukadukada agama paayana anityas tam shikshastva. So now Krishna says one has to tolerate. This is the first instruction he pretty much he gives to Arjuna. First thing is, you know, happiness, distress, heat and cold, all this are going to come in this world. This world is full of duality. So never think it's always going to be, you know, always somebody is going to honor you, always it's going to be, you know, nice Bangalore weather or, you know, San Jose weather. It's not going to be always like that. It's going to be, the world is full of duality, but one has to raise above this duality. He told Arjuna also, right? You raise above this Nishtai Gunya Bhava Arjuna. Raise above the three Vedas. Like that, we should rise above them and tolerate them. Rise up. How do we rise above them?
Just like
by
ignoring them.
Equanimity.
Yeah.
Attaching to
dispassion.
How does one demonstrate this equanimity? We discussed it several times. Let's say we are doing some service, and suddenly something happens. How do we demonstrate the determination of above the duality?
Attaching yourself to the results.
Service remains unaffected.
So service will not get disturbed. Irrespective of heat or cold, happiness or distress, something else, our service to Krishna remains unaffected. Then we are raising above. That means these things are not disturbing us anymore. Right? So for example, you know, let's say if you are trying to go to Mangalarti, if it's cold or it's raining or, you know, it's hot or something, we still go to Mangalarti. That means I'm raising above this. Or if I make a practice every day listening to lecture, sometimes my mind is disturbed, sometimes I'm agitation, something. Still okay, I listen to lecture. That means these things are now not bothering us. So we are raising above the duality. Okay, then Prabhupada is saying this state is practical samadhi or absorption in the Supreme. Of course, here Prabhupada is talking about a complete Krishna conscious person. You know, devotee of the Lord is a perfect, pure devotee of the Lord. Now we are trying to become a devotee. Okay, so continuing with the next verse. Text number 8. Jnana vijnana triptatma kutastho vijitendriya yukta iti ucchate yogi samaloshtashma panchana. A person is said to be established in self-realization and is called a yogi or mystic when he is fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization. Such a person is situated in transcendence and is self-controlled. He sees everything, whether it be pebbles, stones or gold, all this as the same. So actually these symptoms are little higher than earlier verse. Earlier verse is neutral, is not disturbed. But here he is actually self-controlled and self-satisfied. So you can just, actually 7, 8, 9 are in increasing amount of intensity, you can say. They are more and more advanced gradually, if you want to note it down. So here he has become more self-satisfied and he is already situated in transcendence and is self-controlled. And also he treats pebbles, stones and gold as the same. What is a similar verse we heard about this, about looking everything equanimity? Vidya Vinayasam Brahmani Gavihastini Sunicheva Swapakicha Pandita Samadarshina. That's 5.18 if you want to write down. That's the verse where earlier Krishna said how a pandita, learned man, sees everybody equally. That means he sees seeing everybody as a soul and he's seeing the super soul helping everyone. So that's how he is already, because he has already reached the super soul, now he's in that state of equanimity. So we'll read the last paragraph in the purport.
This Bhagavad Gita is the science of Krishna consciousness. No one can become Krishna conscious simply by mundane scholarship. One must be fortunate enough to associate with the person who is in pure consciousness. A Krishna conscious person has realized knowledge by the grace of Krishna because he is satisfied with pure devotional service. By realized knowledge, one becomes perfect. By transcendental knowledge, one can remain steady in his convictions. But by mere academic knowledge, one can be easily deluded and confused by apparent contradictions. It is the realized soul who is actually self-controlled because he surrendered to Krishna. He is transcendental because he has nothing to do with mundane scholarship. For him, mundane scholarship and mental speculation, which may be as good as gold to others, are of no greater value than pebbles or stones.
So here Prabhupada is giving the key message that actually one has to learn all this knowledge from a pure Krishna conscious person. That means a spiritual master. One has to receive this knowledge because he has realized the knowledge. So we should hear from somebody who has realized it to some extent. Right? Because realized knowledge is the one which is perfect. Otherwise, it's just theoretically, anybody can say so many things. And also, somebody can do speculation, all those things, if it's just theoretical. Right? So, which verse in 4th chapter, Krishna talks about importance of spiritual master?
We have to go and surrender to him.
Tatri aspects. Tadvidhi pranipate na pariprashnena sevaya upadhyakshanti te gnyan. It's a memorizing verse, right?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
No?
Mm.
Yeah.
You have memorized everything,
Mataji. No, it's for your memorization exam, right?
You haven't given the exam yet.
Oh, you haven't given. Sahu Prabhu and Garima Mataji's memorization.
No, Mataji, it was not.
It's not? Okay. Upadhyakshanti te jnanam, jnaninas tattvadarshina. So the tattvadarshi, so he has seen the truth, the spiritual master, so he can impart that knowledge. That's what the verse Prabhupada is saying, and here. Srila Prabhupada is paraphrasing that. So another point he is saying is, unless one has realized this knowledge, one cannot remain steady in his convictions. Right? We have this realization, right? We may hear so many things, but when we are about to do it, we are not able to sustain in the platform. Because we haven't had the realization yet. So in lecture, Prabhupada was saying that even after hearing so many times, you know, I'm not this body, you should not just remain there that, you know, I'm not this body, I'm not, just keep hearing. But you should slowly come to realization that I'm the soul. Then you will act in that platform, then you will have realized knowledge. Then you slowly you will realize actually that, oh, really, I'm not this body. When we do fasting and all, we don't really die one day if we don't eat anything. Sometimes we worry so much, oh, I didn't eat, you know, that earlier meal I had late, little less, we keep thinking so much, right? But we don't really, of course, you know, we cannot fast for more than seven days, something term is there, you know, we will just, you know, we lose our body, but, you know, it's not like the soul has existence on its own and the body is just facilitating this life, but otherwise soul is always existing. No, so Prabhupada is saying we should act in the spiritual platform to get the realization that we are not the body. So when we act spiritually, when we act in Krishna service, slowly we'll get this realization that, you know, I'm actually not this body. I should not be so much bothered about, you know, land and money and, you know, position, prestige, all those things. I'm actually the soul, so let me worry about how I can serve Krishna. Then that's why, you know, Prabhupada is saying only this realized soul is actually self-controlled. So that's why if we find ourselves not in self-control, that means, you know, we know that we have not realized it completely. Right? Because a self-control, or realized soul is the one who is fully surrendered to Krishna. And Prabhupada is giving a different angle to what does it mean to be transcendental. He's actually, if you notice clearly, he's elaborating on the terms in the verse. So he's talking about self-controlled, and then he's talking about transcendence now. So here he's saying transcendental to mundane scholarship. It's nothing to do with mundane scholarship, because he's just focusing on instructions from Krishna and coming in disciplic succession, so he doesn't care about, you know, just mentally analyzing things by my mental speculation. And another thing, when Krishna talked about he treats the pebbles, stones and gold the same, Prabhupada is saying he may treat this mental speculation and mundane scholarship as good as gold for others. And he doesn't treat it's no greater value than pebbles or stones. It's a very unique way of interpreting, you know, commenting on the things. Literally we can say, you know, he thinks the pebble, stone and gold are same. But he's saying he doesn't worry about mundane scholarship and mental speculation. For him it's nothing but valueless basically.
Mm.
That's what he said. Okay. So the last verse.
सुहृन्मित्रारि उदासीना मध्यस्था द्वेष्यबन्धुषु साधुषु अपि च पापेषु समबुद्धिर्विशिष्यते.
A person who is considered still further advanced, when he regards honest well-wishers, affectionate benefactors, the neutral mediators, the envious friends and enemies, the pious and the sinners, all with an equal mind. Wow, this is still further advanced. He's acting like that now. So a person is become his enemy, is a friend, you know, it's an affectionate benefactor, well-wisher or neutral, mediator, pious, sinner, everybody he treats with an equal mind. Wow, it's very, very advanced stage, right? Honest well-wisher. We don't have time, but there is a very nice story about this thing, Okay, I'll briefly summarize. So in 11th canto, there is a story about this Avanti Brahman. So this Avanti in a city called Avanti, I think mostly. Yeah. There is a Brahman who was, he is a businessman. But he becomes very, very miserly. No, he doesn't even share anything with his family members. And everybody hates him. You know, he doesn't even use it for himself. So all his family members, all the villagers, everybody starts hating him. So because of, because of lack of blessings from everyone, he slowly starts losing his money. He starts losing, you know, he sets fire to this house and he starts losing all his money, everything. And becomes very, very poor. Then now his family members completely start rejecting and insulting and everything, you know, just in a careless person. Then he starts, somehow or the other, there is some pious thing he did earlier. So because of that, he had this realization that, you know, okay, got disgusted with life. So he said, okay, now I think I should get detached myself with all this. I should worship Vishnu. He had that inspiration. So then he starts worshipping Vishnu. You know, he goes and he starts doing something. He started to meditate, be peaceful. But because of his past things, all villagers, everybody started, you know, hitting him, throwing, you know, spitting on him, doing all kinds of insults and everything. Then when he's facing all this, he starts thinking, you know, who is the one who have to be blamed? Is it all these people who are causing me trouble? Is it all my family members? Is it my destiny which is causing this? Or is it, you know, is it the fate? No, he gives all these reasons and, you know, who are the people who have to be blamed for my situation now? Then finally he concludes that it's none of this. It's all because of my mind that I'm feeling this much pain.
Mm-hmm.
So better now let me engage my mind in the service of Vishnu and make it peaceful. Then I will not be disturbed with whatever happens to me. So that's why, you know, he starts engaging in Krishna consciousness. So that's the story related to this, you know, topic. So, any questions or comments?
But Mother, in story it's very easy to understand. Yes, you know, theoretically, it's mind and he diverted himself. But in reality, based upon the degree of ego got hurt, you will get disturbed accordingly, exponentially. So, at that time, these thoughts, theoretically, maybe sometime comes, like if your ego got little bit hurt, okay, all theory will come. Okay, yes, I have to remember this, I have to do this. Forcefully, I am remembering. But little more got hurt, just disturb or nothing else.
Hmm.
So, how to overcome that and what is it like one step we can go further? Because in little bit hurt, we can remember something. Okay, yeah.
So, that's why, you know, our strength comes from our morning practices or, you know, sadhana. Okay, this I wanted to share a long time back, I didn't, but I can share now. So, when I was going to work, when, you know, I was trying to see my work as my service, what I started facing is, there were so many things disturbing at work, you know. which were kind of, you know, provoking me to not be Krishna conscious, like, you know, become angry or somebody does something or, you know, something happens which were provoking me. Then I realized actually that, you know, I should take more shelter of holy name when I chant before going to work to help me remain Krishna conscious during the day. So that's when I started investing more, rather, you know, with that purpose I started chanting, you know, very intently, with a purpose to take shelter so that I get the strength whole day to handle situations. So that's why, you know, our strength comes from our practices. So when we invest in, that's why Radhanath Maharaj says, when the times are good, that's the time we have to invest in ourselves so that we can deal with the times when they are bad. So not every time, you know, these days, you know, there are a lot of layoffs. So how do we handle when there is a layoff? When we have invested in, you know, so much sadhana and in everything, so that time we can take it Krishna conscious. We have strength to, you know, do properly. That's why, you know, when we have time, when we have a good health, when we have good association, we should utilize it and take proper advantage and do it. Otherwise, there will become a situation where we are desperate and we don't have help. We don't have enough strength. We don't have, you know, help to, you know, deal with it. So good times are a preparation of bad times. It's like that.
Thank you.
Okay, any more, you know, points, questions or comments?